The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come.
This is part two, discussing the seven laws to success. Part one is where to start. It covered the first three, setting the right goal, education, and good health. Unaware of these seven laws, the educational systems of this world do not teach them, and therefore most have no idea how to reach real success. If you continue viewing and apply what you learn, you can achieve true success. I have known many who kept the first three laws of success, but never progressed to the crucial fourth law. Good health, the third law, is actually a springboard to applying this vital fourth law. Drive. Those who applied the first three seemed to understand success and that they needed a good education with the enjoyment of good health. But they never actively drove themselves toward their goal. They never used their education and health with the critical ingredient of drive to achieve what they sought. Most people expend energy as though they want to see how little they can use to get by. It is as though they want to slip through doing the bare minimum and still hope to succeed. Only the most gifted ever achieve any kind of lasting success if they neglect to employ drive. This cannot be overstated. I am not naturally a morning person. I've had to learn, had to train myself to get up in the morning. Through most of my senior year in high school, I swam a mile every morning. This was one of three daily practices, one before and two after, also attending class. I had a goal and drove myself to achieve it. I knew I was not a great athlete, but I determined, by training myself to think this way, to drive myself to work harder than any of my opponents. As a result, I beat many great athletes. Developing this practice early in life taught me that I could physically accomplish far more than I thought possible if I started with good health and then drove myself. I even learned a kind of addiction to pain and fatigue that athletes talk about when I was training as a swimmer, but also in some other sports. I have never forgotten the lesson of what can be accomplished if I were just willing to push myself to go the extra mile. The rewards were thrilling, even exhilarating, and I did not want to give up that feeling of accomplishment. Wise King Solomon wrote, "The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul." Everyone enjoys completing tasks. This is satisfying, sweet to the soul. But this cannot be done without recognizing and utilizing the fourth law, drive. Now for the fifth law, resourcefulness. Understanding the laws of success would be incomplete if one did not recognize that things can go wrong or can be harder and more complex than initially anticipated. In fact, few things are as easy as they seem. Often, one must sit down and think through how to best tackle unexpected obstacles and hurdles on the path to success. Invariably, there are so many of these in life that the wise person trains himself to expect the unexpected. While it is important to anticipate unseen roadblocks in your quest to achieve, it is not nearly as important as demonstrating the resourcefulness to surmount them. Whatever obstacles fall across your path must be addressed and resolved. This takes determination and the willingness to think through the different alternatives, the various possible solutions that can be applied so you can progress toward your goal. If life were always easy and the course always smooth sailing, anyone could succeed by employing only the first four laws. But life is not like this. Unanticipated problems, pitfalls, difficulties, and resistance require constant resourcefulness for one to succeed. You must carefully train yourself to remain calm in crisis. Panic accomplishes nothing except to panic others around you and waste time. I learned long ago that fretting, worrying, and panicking never removed the obstacle I was facing. It did not change or diminish it. This reaction merely delayed me, often causing loss of precious time that could have been spent traveling toward the next obstacle had resourcefulness been employed immediately after spotting whatever problem confronted me. My Uncle Frank, my mother's younger brother, was one of the most astute men I ever knew. During his 33-year tenure with Encyclopedia Britannica, he wrote or guided all of their best ads, and his leadership multiplied sales by millions of dollars. He was also an accomplished Lincoln, Grant, Custer, and Civil War historian and strategist. This very successful man possessed a great imagination. I've sought to copy him since I was very young. It was a combination of all of the above qualities that enabled him to once tell me, "David, you must always outthink your opponents." The first time he said this to me, I did not really grasp how important this principle was. In time, I began to realize it was virtually all important. I came to realize that most people do not do this and have never been taught to do it. Opponents are not always people. Every problem, difficulty, resistance, hurdle, and roadblock that you face is, in a sense, an opponent. Determine to outthink each of them. Look each in the eye and say, "It's you or me, friend, and it's not going to be me." Practice this and you will get better at it. It will become more natural. Eventually, you'll even find yourself thriving on it, enjoying the challenge of defeating enemies that want to defeat you. The thrill of victory will begin to regularly replace the agony of defeat that consumes so many who do not know they must apply calm, careful reason to problems to defeat them. Never forget, to achieve true success, practice resourcefulness. Even this fifth law will be insufficient to ensure victory, real success, if you do not continually employ the sixth law, perseverance. In habitually practicing resourcefulness, one automatically finds himself on the edge of the sixth law. Again, life is not easy. Jesus taught, "Enter you in at the straight or difficult gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, again difficult, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." Yes, there are far fewer true Christians than most would believe. Jesus understood that most would not pay the price to become real Christians. He knew most would view the true Christian path as too difficult, too contrary to the easy one that nearly everyone chooses. They would not focus on the reward, but would instead draw back from the price, believing it too great for what they could get from Christianity. Enjoying the sweet taste of success comes at a cost. Sadly, most will not pay it. Like one choosing to buy a particular watch and then finding it too expensive, while it is the one carefully chosen and desired, most will simply settle for a cheaper watch. They're unwilling to save for the purchase because they do not want to pay the price. They accept something less when they did not need to. Achieving success requires sticking to the goal. It requires perseverance, often called stick-to-itiveness. Winston Churchill admonished World War II Britain to never, 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 never give in. Four nevers. With the help of other Allied forces, Britain went on to victory against Hitler and the Axis powers. The entire course of world history was changed. I have often thought that this great leader's inspiring stir-to-action speech, explaining that the British would fight them on the seas and oceans, fight them on the beaches, fight them in the fields and in the streets, and fight them in the hills, was one of the most remarkable examples of perseverance and continuous, undying courage history has ever seen. An entire Western generation may have turned and survived on this one man's words. As a child, I was never allowed to be a quitter. While my father permitted me to choose certain sports or school coursework, he never allowed quitting after I made my choice. That was out of the question, unthinkable to him. As a result, the thought of quitting or giving up is one of the most repugnant things I can think of. Since few would naturally choose this way, I'm enormously grateful for having been forced by my father and additional circumstances later in life to practice perseverance in the face of resistance. If, upon facing a trial or opposition, one is resourceful 1, 2, 3 or more times and then gives up, resourcefulness was not enough to ensure success. Stick-to-itiveness became necessary but was lacking. So few seem to understand they must press on and on and on. If you can train yourself to paint a house, ride a bike, or play a piano, you can train yourself to think and live this way. Do not let yourself believe or settle for less. After the death of Herbert W. Armstrong, the leaders who replaced him threw away the truth and essentially destroyed the visible church I was part of. Everyone who believed the truth fled that organization. Upon establishing the Restored Church of God, we faced many hurdles, roadblocks, intense persecution, and much opposition, no matter which way we turned. As is always the case in such circumstances, some became naysayers and doomsayers and quit. They gave up and threw in the towel. Continuing on, under Christ's constant supervision has never been easy. But because it is the Church of God, and because we have never given up, we are not only surviving, but thriving and powerfully announcing the gospel of the kingdom of God in every nation of the world. Despite enormous opposition in the early days of our existence, this work of Christ is succeeding as none would have believed possible. If it is Christ's work and is to remain His work, we must follow His words, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." We are determined to do this, and in every goal in life, you must do the same. Train yourself to be repulsed at the very idea of quitting. Train yourself to be ashamed and embarrassed at just the thought of it. Tell yourself that whatever options may be at your disposal, quitting is not among them. As long as you have established the right goal and still have breath, by the time you have employed the first 5 laws of success, the last thing you must ever allow to creep into your mind is neglecting the vital 6th law, which requires patient continuance toward your objective. Incessantly, relentlessly, persistently, and continually stick to your goal. Never give up. Never become a quitter. Never throw in the towel. Practice perseverance to the end. We've reached the 7th and greatest law of success. Contact with, guidance from, and continuous help of God. Having learned and determined to practice the first 6 laws, you are still one very long step from any hope of achieving true, lasting success. Yet, while most, with much effort and the application of human reason, could discern 6 laws of success, they could never discover the overlooked 7th law. Some few men, counted as great by the great of this world, have been able to learn and practice the first 6 laws. They have become successes in the eyes of their peers and society. But this has not made them a true success. They have fallen one giant step short of the final goal. If they had held this important key, this would not have happened. The sum of their lives would have been entirely different. At this point, important explanation must be given to establish in your thinking the enormous capstone 7th law. In reality, though I have chosen to address it last, it is actually the 1st law of success in order of importance. Let's understand. Nothing in life of any real value can occur apart from God. All spiritual growth, development, and progress are blocked without this law firmly in place in one's mind. Therefore, it is really the starting point to real growth on the way to true success. But I have included it last because it is the one overarching, all-encompassing law that mankind cannot figure out for itself. God must reveal it. As explained, men can practice the other laws after systematically discerning each for themselves. While this is so difficult that very few have done it, it is possible. None of the first six laws is spiritually revealed knowledge. The seventh, contact with God, is revealed knowledge. None can discern it without God's help. This great seventh law is the one that people are least interested in. Why? Because most people want to live on their own terms. They certainly desire success, fame, wealth, and all the good things of life, but not if it means obeying God. Yet, it is an all-wise, all-powerful Creator who has made the human mind and body. He knows best how it functions. Only God is able to reveal the many principles, values, laws, keys of knowledge and understanding that flow from constant daily contact with Him. Many millions claim to seek God, but in reality they do not. They claim to have God in their lives, claim to be religious, but they are not. It is a fact of life that most people never truly seek God, never truly cry out to Him for real help, that is, unless they're in extreme trouble. At these moments, God suddenly becomes important. People now really need His help. When things are going well, they do not want Him sticking His nose in their business. They want Him to stay out of the way so they can direct their own paths, seek their own goals and definition of success. However, when in terrible health, grave financial difficulty, when their marriage appears shattered, or after the death of a child or other loved one, God becomes more important. The problem is that God is the last option instead of the first, which He should be. People live as though when all else fails, try God. Sadly, this occurs after rejecting, dishonoring, and generally disobeying Him for all or much of their lives. While this is better than never, it is not good enough. This is why the seventh law of success is really the first to be applied. Life involves many choices, some of them great. Through Moses, God presented ancient Israel with life's ultimate choice. Notice, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed, your children, may live. This was written nearly 3,500 years ago. Yet nothing has changed. You and I are presented with the same choice. With Jesus Christ having paid the death penalty for sins, God still offers people eternal life if they seek and obey Him. It is beyond the scope and purpose of this series to explain the many scriptures describing the path to the real salvation of the Bible. It has never been going to heaven. This belief is nothing more than pagan superstition, a fiction created by deceived men cut off from God who overlook plain scriptures in their Bibles. To those who choose life, God has promised something infinitely greater than a slothful existence akin to rolling around heaven all day. People must want to seek God. You were born with free moral agency. You have the right and power to choose death. You also have the right to choose life. Consider carefully what you do, the direction you choose. No one can achieve true success if he violates either the first law, which is correctly defining success, or the seventh, which is seeking God on the way to true success. God inspired Jeremiah to write, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Reflect on this verse. Determine to find the true God and then to not forsake Him. The false pagan beliefs taught by the churches of this world are leaky glasses, broken cisterns. They do not work and lead to failure. Studies have shown that up to 20% of the CEOs of major companies once studied the book of Proverbs. Solomon, whom God describes as the wisest man who ever lived, recorded Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. In the latter, he described many activities in pursuit of happiness and fulfillment. This long passage from the Moffat translation describes what he did. "Come, try pleasure and enjoy yourself. I searched my mind, how to pamper my body with wine, keeping control of myself wisely all the time, how to come by folly, till I could see how best the sons of men might fare. I built mansions, planted vineyards, laid out gardens and parks, in which I planted all manner of fruit trees, making pools to water the trees in my plantations. I bought slaves, both men and women, and had slaves born within my household. I had large herds and flocks, larger than any before me in Jerusalem. I amassed silver and gold, right royal treasures. I secured singers, both men and women, and many a mistress, man's delight. Richer and richer I grew, more than any before me in Jerusalem. Nothing I coveted did I refuse myself. I denied my heart no joy, for my heart did feel joy in all this toil. So much I did get from all my efforts. But when I turned to look at all I had achieved, and at my toil and trouble, then it was all vain and futile. Nothing in this world is worthwhile." Very few have experienced as many things in the ultimate pursuit of pleasure as did Solomon. Think about the expanse of what he did. Yet Solomon found none of these things, or even all of them together, permanently satisfying. They left him unfulfilled and empty. Over time, he stopped practicing the seventh law. Read 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. Virtually no one learns or practices the seventh law of success. This is why most people never experience the wonderful happiness, contentment, and peace that they should. So many unwittingly deny themselves fulfillment of these things because they never choose life. They never choose to seek the God who can lead them to eternal life. They never learn the reason for their existence. No wonder so many give up on life and commit suicide. I've known more than I wish to remember who did this, and it was always because they had lost hope that they could have a meaningful future. They gave up and lost out on what could have been true success had they just been willing to learn and continue on the right path. The prophet Isaiah explained how to fill the empty human existence. Notice, "Everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come you, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, God, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Most people have absolutely no idea why they were born. They do not even know if there is a purpose for human life. Yet the Bible is filled with scriptures describing and emphasizing the importance of building spiritual character. I've written many books and booklets explaining how vital it is that true Christians build character throughout their lives. You may read them. This book, The Awesome Potential of Man, will open your eyes to the astonishing truth of what God plans as the very greatest success any human being could imagine. You must take time to read it. You were born to fulfill a great purpose. No college or university can teach it to you. It is revealed knowledge understood by only a few. God may be revealing this knowledge to you so that you can become one of those few. Ask Him for wisdom and He will give it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Believe this verse. You can ask the same God to give you some of the same wisdom he gave Solomon. He will answer you if you truly seek him. This broadcast could explain the importance of developing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, among other qualities of God. Read Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It could also explain about humility, mercy, compassion, and much more. But this would deviate from its stated purpose. There is not time here to explain why God's Word teaches as much as it does about building character. But it is critical to recognize that none can actually be a true spiritual success in life without developing the many qualities of character, qualities that God possesses, described throughout the Bible. Again, most people have not a hint, inkling, or clue why they were born. Yet, God intended that every human being become a success. He states through the Apostle Paul that he will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. And through the Apostle Peter that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In the greatest overall sense, achieving salvation is reaching a level of true and final success vastly beyond anything possible in this life. While most professing Christians would probably agree with this statement, it has not occurred to almost any of them that the greatest author of success, God, would reveal how to achieve such true success. This is what the wealthy, the famous, the powerful, the great, the supposedly successful of this world never recognize. It is a great irony that most people ignore and reject the instructions of the very God they profess to serve, and from whom they hope to be given eternal success, salvation. Yet, in an additional ironic twist, these same people would probably line up by the millions if they could buy a copyrighted formula guaranteed to bring them success with no effort. This booklet, The Laws to Success, makes plain the greatest formula on earth. Now that you know the laws to success, what will you do with them? Will you apply them? Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To learn more or to find a local congregation, contact us to receive a personal response from a minister.